So my very dear HLM podcast listener, this is a letter from my heart, from the deepest part of my heart. Thank you so much for sticking with the podcast for this long. In this podcast, the goal is to teach, transform, renew, align our minds and our spirits in everything pertaining to life and godliness. So here's my question for you today. How is your life? With love, from your host, Chidinma Chika.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the How is Life podcast. And I am your host, Chidinma Chika. Welcome to my month, my first month, the month of May. And I hope you are having a lovely month. I hope whatever season in your life you are in, that you are walking through it with the grace of God. You are not alone. You have the community of believers to help you. And you have the grace of God, most importantly. So I hope that in whatever season of your life you are in right now, you are having peace. You're having the joy of the Holy Ghost, most importantly. Okay, so enough of the introductions. Again, I am here with someone very insightful, value-filled, and impactful. My first encounter with him was with his contents, especially with the voice, the kind of voice he uses. He uses the kind of voice that I'm hoping he would use it in this podcast episode. It's the kind that will make you leave whatever it is you are doing and run to go do that thing. There's this particular content I think you post maybe every week or something. I know you post it regularly. And then that is telling people to go read their Bibles. I mean, I've read my Bible for the day. I've done my devotion. But I still feel okay. I mean, why say it like that? So I have to go back to my Bible now to go. I have to go and reread it because you said it. Okay, so here with me today is a dynamic leader, a visionary and creative graduating from Covenant University in 2019, currently serving as the lead pastor of the Light Community. He brings a unique blend of spiritual insight and creative expression to his ministry. With a professional background in cinematography, filmmaking, and photography, Sir Nelson, as he is fondly called, believes that Christians should shine as light in every sector of the world as they seek to influence the world with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the apostle of God, sent to the media, is called to take the media sector for Jesus. As I'm reading this now, I hope you're getting excited. I hope you're getting excited as I am. He's the creator of the 1000 Portraits for Jesus project, an initiative that mixes photography with the spread of the gospel. As a filmmaker, his movie Noise of Silence is known for not just entertaining, but edifying the brethren and educating non-believers with the knowledge of God's word. He is not only a Christian content creator with over 500 videos created over the span of 2 years, he is also a music creative. He is the producer and composer of the Light Community's debut album, The Prayer Album. And this year, he is poised to release more personal music. Beyond his artistic talents, he has had the privilege of raising and discipling hundreds of young individuals, embodying his commitment to mentorship and spiritual development. As an excellent teacher of the Word of God and a gifted singer-songwriter, he continues to inspire and impact lives through both his words, relatable videos, and his music. And this is none other than Peter Nelson Isaiah. Welcome, Nelson.
Hello. Mommy, I made it.
Oh my God. It is so, so good to
it's so beautiful. Thank you.
Well, today we are going to be talking about something very subtle and, however, very crucial, if I say so myself, and that is fear. Not just any fear. This fear is particularly to those that are just joining the faith newly, and that is FOMO versus FOGI. That is the fear of missing out versus the fear of joining in, the dilemma of new believers. If you are new to the faith, or if you know someone that is new to the faith, you could share this with them so we get perspectives. Because I am here with Fennell. We cannot come and go anyhow. We are coming to receive, we're coming to draw. So, so I need you all to, you know, bring yourselves together and get one or two things from everything that we're going to have in this, we're going to say in this conversation. So I think we should start with the basic, and that is the salvation story. How did you have this? How did you begin this relationship, Jesus, with the Holy Spirit? How was your journey like?
I like to keep it short and simple, but it's never easy. Because, you know, it's always a privilege to talk about Christ. So my name is Isaiah Peter Nelson, right? And I feel like that alone gives it away. I was born in a Christian home, and my mom was very, very, you know, very Christianese, you know, spoke Christianese all the time. She is Christianese. And I think that environment of Christianism, that environment is what actually made it easy for me to get close to God. The fact that you have a praying mom, you don't understand what she's saying, but the point is you always have an environment around you that just points to God, points to God. God is the only way. Even if you wanted to be an atheist because you're a smart child, you can't even do it. Because there's always something, you know, around you that just makes you want to go to God. When you're desperate, you're told to pray to God. And long story short, as a child, I had a lot of questions. And you know, those kind of things. Now you have questions. Well, ask God. You know, that's even nice. Sometimes they tell you, don't question God. He's a mysterious God. And I'm like, okay. So I had a lot of questions as a child. Some were smart questions, some were stupid questions, but I had questions. And I think we're told to suppress our questions. But then as we grow older, as we enter our teenage years, our stubborn years, slowly and surely, we start to really question, like, tell me the truth. And I started questioning that when I was 16, 17. I wanted to find reasons to love God. I was told to love him because he loves me. But I don't think he loves me. When I see him, he chose me to hell. What's happening? You know, I literally begged for everything. And when I beg, I receive small results. This, in my opinion, I don't see why I should love the Lord. What's happening? And fast forward, I remember that there was a shift in my school. We started to learn the Bible. You know, we had spiritual guys in my school. I went to Covenant University. You've already read it in the bio. You know, things started to shift. The spiritual leaders started to receive new knowledge about God. So it wasn't just pray. Now it was pray because he's your loving father. And they understood what God's love was. And everybody in the school was learning about grace. You know, but of course we are the children now. I mean, I was in 12 level then, 12 level then. So I just happened to stumble on the spiritual folk. And they started speaking to us and everything. So, long story short, I started asking the question. I was at a meeting called Utah, and the man of God said, you know, good things are available to those that love the Lord. And when he said that thing, it hit me. I was like, okay, I love God, but why should I love him? And ever since I asked that question, I didn't know that God was listening to me. And since then, he started to send people my way to give me answers. People will just come and then just give me a sentence of the gospel. And I'll be like, huh? So now, this is a Christian guy, born Christian, but received new knowledge about God, the grace message, the gospel. He had that before, maybe, but he had understanding now. it was that curiosity that made that awoken my conviction. So I've been saved all my life, but I like to think that I was truly saved the moment I heard a sermon called The Gospel by Andrew Womack. And when I heard that sermon, my life changed. I realized that I was wasting my life. You know, I realized that God has given us so much in the gospel. I realized that we are saved by grace through faith. I realized a lot of things in that sermon. And in fact, immediately after the sermon, I reached out to a girl for a date, and I started preaching to her. I'm like, I just learned something. God loves you. Can I believe that I was saved at the age of 17? That's when I really understood what the gospel was, and I started to evangelize and really work hard to reach out to people. Not because of I want to, you know, win more souls to make money, win more souls to pass an exam. I really wanted people to be saved through the gospel. And that was the period where I can say I was truly saved. You know, saved not by works, but by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that was when, you know, that was pretty much it for me.
That was lovely. Because I think my experience too is kind of similar to yours in some way. I grew up in a Catholic family. We were always about God. I mean, I literally can walk in from school, in primary school, I would walk into the house and meet my mom praying the 3 p.m. prayer. I cannot remember what it's called. And I would now have to join her. You know, so I was in a praying family. However, I didn't know the Bible. I didn't know the Bible. If you ask me, I think the only thing I knew then was Psalm 23. I didn't know anything then. Mm-hmm. We kind of changed church. We changed church. And started being exposed to the word. And because I was in boarding school, I wasn't really getting it. So I was in a boarding school that was all. So I wasn't really getting, you know, the full-on exposure, except when I would come home a couple of times. And then I think the shift happened in SS3 when I wrote, that was the first time they brought out Mock Jam. You write Mock before Mock, yeah, you write the Mock of Jam before the actual Jam. And then after I wrote that exam, I was shocked, like to the depth of me, I was shocked that when the results will come out, I'm getting above 300. I was too sure. I was very sure. And then, you know, I wrote it with a couple of people because not everybody paid for that. And then I think we were about 10, 9 of them saw their results. And then they kept looking for mine. I said, they kept asking me all manner of questions, like questions as if I didn't know what I went there to do or anything. They'll ask questions like, did you click submit? Did you do this? Did you do that? Are you sure you submitted before? And I'm like, I did. I know I did. So eventually, I think after about 2 weeks, they stopped trying because it kept saying results not found. It was then I knew that something. I had to find a solution. Solutions, I didn't know what to do. I really didn't know what to do. So then I was the sacristy. I went into the sacristy where we used to keep there's a word I want to use for it now. I want to say holy. We keep it there. So I went in because I'm in charge of that space. And then I just knelt down and began to worship. I didn't know how to pray, how to pray it, but I just worshiped and said, God, please. I know this particular result is not really what I need. It's that main jam, but for this one not to show. And then I got it from there. Then I wrote jam. Every other thing was okay, but that particular prayer day was a turning point. That was when I knew the grace of God. Like I started seeing the grace of God at work in my life. And then moving on to, I think my first year, I joined, in university. I joined a fellowship, TREM fellowship, and they brought the word. Like they said, you see this word, eat it. You are going to And then from there, I grew to love God. So it's not as spontaneous. You maybe you and then you woke up or something that deep, but then the whole process really deepened my love for God.
Yeah.
It helped me understand dimensions of grace. Mm-hmm. I really knew a lot of things from the word, and so I am super grateful. I'm super grateful to everyone that had made a thing out of that journey that contributed one way or the other. I am so grateful. So I think that is my own story. Thank you. So I think we're going to now talk about the fears exactly. The fear of missing out. There's a lifestyle, people that were not, you know, did not come from a praying family. They didn't know anything about the grace of God, nothing about Christ. They didn't understand anything about Christ. There was a life that they were used to. There's a life they are comfortable with. Now imagine asking those people to leave that kind of lifestyle, to come into one that, yes, it's peaceful, but you're going to have to sacrifice, do a lot of things to grow. So to leave their comfort zone to come into this kind of life can be quite tasking. So the first question is, have you ever witnessed anyone that has, you know, gone through that FOMO experience before, or even 4G, the fear of joining the body of Christianity?
I've met a lot of people, and they all have one common denominator, which I will get to very shortly. But the fear of missing out in this context, I believe that it's that period where there's somewhat of a difficulty in transitioning from the world to the body of Christ. And honestly, there's only one solution to that, and I'll get to it. The fear of joining in is, it's almost like you're reaching to God, but you're still holding out to, you know, you still want to hold out. So it's like you're split between two parts. Of course, it's possible, and I've met, you know, a lot of people like that. Yes, a lot of people, because it's a struggle. Even Demas was a minister of the gospel, and he still went back, you know. And Demas's own wasn't even a matter of sin. Demas was a matter of ministry money, and he went for the money. So you see that even the fear of missing out is not even about the character in itself. It's just a matter of, you know, God is calling you into something deep, and you don't want something deep. You want something shallow. So it's like, I don't want to miss out on the money that my business is going to give me. What are you talking about? I want to make money, all right? You know, my dream is to have 6 cars and 17 houses. And you want me to now, you know, enter deep and be praying, especially those who God has called into ministry. I've seen lots of them. Now, for the people who sin, right, they've lived a frivolous life all their lives. They've been free. And then now you're saying that I'm supposed to be free in Christ Jesus. Most people don't understand that there is freedom in Christ Jesus. Meanwhile, you are trapped in sin while you are in the world. They don't see it that way. They see it as, if I want to fornicate, I should be able to go and fornicate. If I want to, you know, do Yahoo, do drugs, I should be able to do that. But the devil is selling you a negative form of freedom whereby he gives you all these things and entraps your soul. And that is the thing that, you know, that's why, you know, mentorship and being a pastor is important. The Bible says that, you know, these gifts were given for the equipping of the saints, Ephesians 4:11. That is the reason why we exist. That's why the church exists. But yes, there are definitely people that go, you know, through these things, and there are a lot of factors involved. I've been, now this does not underrate the transformative power of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. It does not underrate it. But you see, the Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. That means there is a responsibility, you know, to actually, you know, I was speaking to my guys one time, and I was like, the Bible says work hard to show the results of your salvation. That famous scripture, work hard to, you know, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Philippians 2 verse 12. The NLT says work hard to show the results of your salvation. That means there's a duty. You know, Jesus said, come, I will carry your burden, but you will bear my yoke. There is a consecration and a responsibility required for a believer. And sometimes you can blame the pastor for not emphasizing the love of Christ. The Bible says that the love of Christ constrains us. So maybe we could say that maybe sometimes it's the pastor that scares them away with consecration. You must not do this. You must not do this. And, you know, Paul said it is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ that brings men to repentance. Yes, you can blame us to an extent, but the truth is the believer always has a responsibility to do some things, you know, even though we have the transformative power of God. And yes, it really does exist. It's really not a problem that the word of God cannot solve. And that's why we are here today.
Something that really struck me, everything you said, was the fact that you have some pastors that really emphasize the consecration. And they don't, it seems like they don't even understand that kind of life into the life of Christ. There's a struggle. And you said, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Already, it seems like the more that they try, because they don't understand that it's not even by your works, it's not by how much you want to do. So the more they try, the more they are falling back. And it seems like grieving the one that is even supposed to help them. And this now was supposed to take me to my next question, which was, do you think the subconscious fear of missing out on the kind of lifestyle and relationship they had would affect them as believers? I think you have already quite answered that, because I think being in your mind, you feel like, I can't do this by myself. I can do this without the help of the Holy Spirit. It's already a problem. That mindset is already a big problem. And then the anchor scripture, I think I even missed out scripture, Colossians 3, says you have been raised to life with Christ. So set your heart on the things that are in heaven. In the previous episode, the guest speaker was talking about where our hearts are. Most times, yes, there is all that coming into Christ as the aesthetic. So you want to put Bible scriptures so that, you know, you decorate it with all you can, post it on your status, post it on your Instagram page. You are just decorating it. So you are just in Christianity for the aesthetics. Uh-huh. But then Colossians 3 here is saying, set your heart on the things of heaven. Because truly, all the matters of this world comes from the heart. Everything comes from how you think about, how you perceive it. So this is my word to you. To you listening, if you are still struggling, you're struggling to leave that life that you've been living, to come into the life, you can't do it alone. Need God and set your mind on the things of God. Remove your mind, because you might catch yourself thinking about this kind of thing. As a matter of fact, you might even find out that the friends that you used to keep, and I think that is even something we should discuss, the friends they used to keep, because they are seeing that you are already moving to a new light, they stop inviting you. So don't see it as anything big, any problem, really, because God is still going to bring friends your way. That God is going to bring people that would elevate your journey, help you through this journey. I feel like saying hallelujah, so I'm going to say it. Hallelujah, somebody.
Oh, God. Amen.
So, do you think FOMO might be affecting those that have never been outside of Christ before? I mean, people that have lived their lives from parenthood to the kind of friends they have, they were always Christocentric. Everything about them was always about Christ. Do you think they might be experiencing that fear of missing out? Especially with the kind of contents we have today, with the way people decorate some of these worldly lifestyles.
Two things. Actually, three things. The first is, Bible says, work hard to show the result of your salvation, but it is God that works it out in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. I like to always communicate that there is progress and joy to be found in our faith. That means there is progress. Day one is not the same thing as day 100 if you are working with the Holy Spirit. It's not the same thing. So we believers always focus on the day, on the day 1000. Meanwhile, we are in day 20.
Yes.
So it's like, you cannot pray for you can't pray like me. That's fine. You just started your work with God yesterday.
Yes.
Right? Your tongues will not sound like my own. I've been speaking in tongues for 10 years. 5 years. You can't sound like my own. I have consonant tongues. You don't. Stick with your one-by-one tongues and be fine with it. Have peace. Right? It's actually not funny because of I deal with a lot of young people and, you know, they are speaking in tongues and their tongues not sounding deep. They now stop. The second thing to talk about is the friends. I was going to speak about that. Honestly speaking, when it comes to the topic of FOMO and FOGI, it's all about friends. The Bible says that evil communication corrupts good manners. And there are two times the Bible used that scripture. The first was in Proverbs, referring to how friends can just, you know, ruin someone's life. The second time it was used was in I think Paul used it, and he said that he was preaching about doctrine. So he literally said, if you keep on hearing something over and over again, it's gonna influence you. If you sit down and talk with an atheist for 5 days, you doubt God. You think so? Somebody is injecting doubt into your mind. That's the power of communication. And that's also a strategy. That's why God said that do not neglect the garden of the brethren. That is literally your covering. And the Bible also says that iron sharpeneth iron, and so does a man sharpen the countenance of his friend. FOMO and 4G can be solved if you just remove the bad friends and find new friends. Let God help you to find new friends. How do you find new friends? Just go to church. Join online communities. And the third thing I want to emphasize upon, which is basically the answer to your question, is it's all about the mind. You know, in our community, the Life community, we are currently doing a series, right? God is teaching us for 45 days. So 45 days of the word. And the main reason why we are doing this is because of God revealed to us the concept of meditation, which is a mixture of meditation and imagination. And the summary of all of that is God wants to work on your mind. God wants to work on your mind. And the thing is, I've done a lot of study. I'm privileged to be the teacher in this series. And I've realized that, you know, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, there were some people who, I mean, I forget the scripture now, but it's in Hebrews 11. The Bible says that they could not be tempted to go back because they never saw home. Meaning that you couldn't tempt them with the life that they lived before because they had forgotten about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you understand what I'm saying, it's almost like you cannot tempt someone with what they don't know about. You can't. You know, I have this very famous and controversial argument. Please don't quote me anywhere, right? I promise you, it's not my idea. Maybe I'm lying. Anyways, the point is, I have this controversial idea. When we say is kissing a sin, honestly, let me start by saying maybe it is. But if a child kisses her father, what's the child thinking about? You know, so we now see that progressively, the child begins to watch movies. The child begins to, you know, watch skits where kissing is leading to outright, downright sin. All right. And now it is impossible for that child to separate the affectionate act of kissing from, you know, sin, fornicating and all those things. That, you know, so like anybody in our generation, you know, as a pastor, if you ask me, size Christmas, and I'll tell you yes. You know, it's the same for you. Because yeah. I know that.
Yeah.
Because I know, I know that if you were raised on a farm, it's probably not a sin for you.
Mm-hmm.
On a farm, no internet, only Bible. All you know that, Judas kissed Jesus now. In fact, you think that it's bad to kiss. You think that that kissing is for great sin. Let's be honest. Because the Bible says, greet each other with a holy kiss.
You might not even raise the question. That is kissing a sin. If you've not
you will never ask the question. You will never. So it actually
most times know the answer to the question. They
exactly. know the answer. You will actually never ever ask that question if you were raised on a farm. What's your business? I want to show my affection. I hug her and I kiss her. That's all. But you, when you don't wash, sorry, small pigeon, you don't wash everything. You don't wash everything. Every single thing in this life is in your head. And still goes back to Hebrews 11. They could not be tempted with what they hadn't seen before. So you hear a man like Andrew Womack, who comes to New York for the first time in his life. A prostitute is approaching him and is shaking back for him. I'll give you for free. And the guy is like, believe the Lord and be saved. They have to explain to him that, oh, she's actually a call girl and she wants to give you for free. He's like, oh, really? I don't want that because he's Texas. So he's like, you cannot tell me what I don't know about. The truth is that the reason why we are content creators is to prevent, you know, I believe that part of God's work in this end time army is to create a safe harbor for his children where we can honestly, unpopular opinion, we might need to boycott some platforms, boycott X, boycott Netflix, create our own, honestly, because of the battle of the mind is real. You don't have to want to do it, just know it can be done. Now you can be tempted with it. It's that bad. So it's like, how do you fix this? That is where we now have the concept of meditation and staying on the word of the Lord. I forget my scriptures now, but Holy Spirit, you help me. You know, a scripture like Joshua 1 verse 8 says that this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate on it day and night, so that thou mayest observe to do all that is written. Meaning that person that is experiencing FOMO and 4G, how about you be strict on yourself? If you are, and this is to cut topic, but if you're experiencing, you know, issues with pornography and masturbation, I know how to fix it. Let me tell you what to do. Drop your phone. Don't use internet for 2 weeks. That 2 weeks, only listen to sermons, read your Bible every day and pray. Don't even go out. Stay in your room. I guarantee you, because the word of God is influencing your mind constantly, as a result, it will be impossible for you to fall. Do you know why? Because of all you are meditating on, all that is on the top of your mind is the word of God. You will observe to do what is written. And, you know, it's the same thing to fast. When we fast, most of us become very spiritual when we fast. What a coincidence. What a coincidence. God wants us to live a fasted life. And that means I've experienced pornography. I mean, I've struggled with it before and masturbation before. There are triggers. Normally, I'm outside and I'm talking to some, you know, some fat guys. They say some things, and what they say activates something in me that I'll be tempted with later. When God says, you know, God has given us the strategy, we might need to cut from bad friends. I mean, cut completely, because when you see their status, You're going to remember the life you used to live before. And that goes back to our topic. It's almost like you have to actually forget. You know, the only time you'll be tempted is when a glimpse of your old life is presented to you again. I'm not saying that you can't overcome temptation. You can, but it's easier to prevent the temptation.
It's not to overcome.
It's easier. Do you understand? It's easier. So it's like, how about you do the smart thing, delete everybody's number that can lead you to sin. Start from there. Then when you do that, focus on what's it called? On, you know, so like, I don't know how to make new friends. If you are intentional, message somebody, in fact, pastors like the assignment. Message a pastor and say, "Sir, I just let go of all my friends. Can you help me?" You just joined the Christian church yesterday. Sir, I want to win their soul. You are not okay. 1:5. You want to win all their souls. Many two scriptures you can name. So, this fear of missing out thing, when you in a company of people that go clubbing, then all of them leave your hostel, or leave your house, or wherever. You are the only one in the house looking. Of course you are FOMO. Of course you are FOMO. So now, they'll come back. Guy, you miss, so. You miss, sir. What's going on here? You know, they will not come spiritual. You read your Bible. Say, no, I'm spiritual. I'll not move. Relax. You are in a company where you will be tempted and you will continue being tempted. Now, concerning this, let me just stick to your question, sorry. So, it is almost impossible, in my opinion, for a Christian who has spent a long time in the faith to now suddenly now look at and say, what is that said? Okay, they're fornicating. Can I test? There's usually an interference. Somebody became that wasn't meant to be his friend.
Yes.
And that person introduced life to him. So it's like, you know, I have a brother and I'm so proud of him. He's 16 or 15 thereabouts. No pornographic image, no this. And honestly, I'm praying for you and I'm telling him, I'm like, bro, don't do it. Don't say don't do it. Say focus on God. Because if you say don't do it, you know, the sin in us want to go and be curious.
So anything, that's what
exactly. So it's impossible for my brother to be tempted now. Like jumping with a girl and he's like, can we talk about politics? Because he likes politics. And I'm like, this is a definition of a mind that has been preserved. Right? I'm not saying he's perfect, right? But I'm saying that if he has bad friends tomorrow that always talk about sex, he's most likely gonna fall in that same vein. Talk about sex and rotten stuff. My brother, you know, gets his phone, gets his tab, and he's opening politics. Or he's opening sports. Where the temptation won't you take enter by you? Where? Right? I'm not even saying he's doing Bible. He's fixing his mind on stuff that is different from... So, you are struggling with FOMO. In fact, let me extend the conversation. You're struggling with sin. Talk to your friends. And everything. Once you cut your friends and you cut down on your content, guys, I'm a pastor, not ordained, but a pastor, and it happens even to me. So there are times when I'm scrolling on YouTube Shorts, I'm a content creator, I have to scroll. So it's my life. I have to scroll. So I'm scrolling on YouTube Shorts, and I come across, you know, an OnlyFans girl. And immediately, I just click on not interested, because if I watch it too much, I will be interested. I don't agree with the jealousy. Just seeing someone get sex is already a trigger.
Yeah.
Because deep down in your mind, you're like, oh, the moment that thought enters, it might be detrimental. Because it will come first. When you want to sleep and you cannot sleep, it will not come again. When you start praying, oh Lord, help your son. Right? Obviously, there are ways to overcome that. There is confession. If you speak out, you know, the word of God, I am righteous. So I refuse to, that thought will die. And that's the secret. So learn to speak out and let what you say dominate your mind. But it doesn't change the fact that the more we eat content, the more we listen to our friends talk, those people, the more you hang out with them, the more these things are triggered. And the reason why they are even triggered is because of you know what they're speaking about. But I believe very strongly that for people who knows nothing, ignorance is bliss. It really is. If you know nothing, they will be, you know, giving you sexual jokes and you won't understand. I don't have that luxury. I don't have that luxury. But if anyone does, I'm so sure that, you know, those jokes will just be like this. Do you not love you, Jawa? What are you saying?
It's true. I think there's something I wanted to point out while you were still talking, and that was deep. And that is, you said something about staying 2 weeks and just meditating on God's word. No phones, no content, nothing, and you're going to see how, you know, intact, how preserved you're going to be for that period of time. I was privileged to be in this group, this counseling group that help people who are trying to come out from pornography, addiction, masturbation, and all of that. And then they said it goes deeper than just dropping your phone. These things have been engraved in the mind. Like it's as if they used hot iron to draw the picture in your mind. So even when the phone is taken away from you, you still have your mind. Your mind will still bring all the videos you've seen, all the pictures you've seen, replay it for you. Again, a solution you brought is confession. Oh, it's so important. I heard somewhere in a sermon where the pastor said, you don't fight a thought with another thought.
Oh.
You don't fight thoughts with thoughts.
What?
You fight thoughts with confession. You must. So that you are thinking of something, don't think of, I don't like this thing. You are just thinking about it. I don't like this thing I'm thinking about. The thought will still be there. It will still be there. So speak out. Even when it has to do with fear of missing out, speak it out. That you have new friends. You are new in Christ. You are a new creature. Everything around you is new. Everything is maybe later into your journey in Christ, you can, you know, have a different understanding of that verse. But see, everything about you is new. Plus your friends, the people you get counsel from. Change everybody. If you can see that nobody is actually following the line that you want to follow. There are people like Sir Nelson. People like Sir Nelson, you can meet them. They will help your life. Honestly. Begin to subscribe to more Christian content. These things seem like, is it just this that's going to help me? It's the small things that will gather up. The small things. The things you say. Don't engage in the jokes. Don't engage in those. You can't miss it. You can't miss. Other people will be like, what? Please explain it to me. You know you understand it. Even those jokes, some of these words, I think it's even... I don't know which is worse, either reading it or someone saying it. Because there's some things you just see on Twitter and you're like... If only we can create it for just, if it's just believers or just Christians, where we can put ourselves and, you know, make jokes. It doesn't have to be quoting scriptures everywhere. Make the kind of jokes that will not pollute your mind. If there are spaces, I would be the first to sign up. But then, like...
Oh, there definitely are.
Like Sanelson said, be very mindful of what you let into your mind. Be very mindful of the kind of things you think. And then confess. Confess the word of God. Confess. And how can you confess the word? See, if you can just carry the Bible and be reading, you don't need to probably know everything in your mind. Just carry the Bible like as it is and be reading it out. It's better than nothing. Honestly, it's better than nothing. Well, as I just checked now, I think we are fast running out of time. Fast. I think I'll just go to the last question. Last question of this, our conversation, which is, what wrong, unhelpful, or biased mindsets do you see new believers have when it comes to the body of Christ? What wrong mindsets do you think that they have when they are looking at body of Christ and they are like, and you're like, this thing that you are thinking of, or this way you are thinking is not going to help you in this journey? What mindset do you think?
Well, that is a very difficult question to answer, but I think it actually varies. I know we say the body of Christ and we're like, oh, it's all compound. It's not really compound. It's all functions with denomination, right? That's the honest truth. That's the honest truth. I believe that, you know, there were people that could not handle what some churches were doing and they left, right? Some churches have a particular, you know, it's all according to the graces, let's be honest. All according to the graces, and a church has been given a certain prayer grace, right? A prayer mantle, if you were. And the way I like to see the body of Christ, and I'm trying to look at time too. The way I like to see the body of Christ is like everybody has different graces. God gave each and everybody exaggerated graces for us to complete each other. Do you get it? So it's like someone, you know, his first encounter with Christianity might be a church that does 24 hours prayer every week. And you are someone that was just living the local, you know, just enjoying life. And now it was from 0 to 100. Like, it's going to be so small. I know that there is a particular church that their believers foundation class, as per that class, first prayer, 6 hours. It's like there are some ministries that are for young people like mine, whom I'm majorly supposed to disciple young people. What if that young person goes and then go and meets a ministry that is discipling advanced Christian leaders?
True.
Now it's confused, right? So somebody tells you that the first prayer meeting we have together, we're praying 9 hours in tongues. So these are the small things. Sorry.
Someone that is struggling to start the speaking in tongues, they are saying to speak 6 hours.
Those people are even shy about their tongues. So the thing about the body of Christ that people need to know, in my opinion, is if you're if you're a new believer and you're scared to join in maybe a Christian community that is seeming too spiritual, ask God to help you. He can help you to actually join that community if you're meant to be there, or he can show you another one. Because that's why God, you know, God has many children. You know, somebody might not be doing well in church A, but then they go to church B and they arise. They are finally happy. You know, but somebody must be feeling, this church B is, I need something hotter. And then they'll go to church A. So that is the reason why I always tell, anyone that's a new believer, funny enough, We believers don't leave us so often, right? That's what we are meant to do. Train them little by little. And I believe that, you know, don't be mad at the body of Christ. Just find the right church.
Ah, that last point, yes. Yes. Just find the right. Find the right place for you. Find the right place. Very important. And it's almost as if there should be maybe the whole, let me use Pentecostalism now. Maybe we should come together and say, maybe we can have these churches for beginners. This one's for intermediates. Mm-hmm. Because, honestly, I think someone that is just starting, you need to first feed them with the word. Imagine going to a church where all they do is pray. Let anybody die. That's a very big problem. So you need to see yourself, instead of seeing yourself as the son of God, you see yourself as God's warrior. The warrior that is supposed to stand at the gate to fight. What is not your
God? For God.
And I'm just going to chip this in here. And this is for 4G, fear of joining in, especially in the aspect of speaking in tongues. I spoke with someone some time ago. She's just, you know, she's still growing in the faith. And she said, I just don't speak in tongues. Not because I don't want to, but because I sound very foolish. And then I think that is a very, very, very serious problem in the minds of new believers. The thought that they sound foolish. So they don't speak at all. So it's not even a matter of, oh, it's not serious. Mm-mm. Some don't speak because they feel like they sound foolish. And, oh, I can't, not with my full chest, but I can say I was there before. So I understood exactly what she was saying. But I want to tell you that you don't even remove your mind from what you're saying. I think that's what worked for me. Remove your mind from what you're saying. Don't focus on what you're saying. Focus on how your heart is communicating to God. Because the minute you begin to... Okay, you remember saying something?
Hey, but please be done. I want to jump in this conversation, but go ahead.
Okay. So, like, what helped me was I began removing my mind from trying to say it perfectly or make it make sense in my head. So letting my heart do the work. Eventually, you know, I grew in it. But at the beginning phase, leave the sounding foolish, because that's what the devil used to mess with your mind. You say, what are you even saying? Do you think what you're saying even makes sense? Do you think it's even going anywhere? See, it's going. Just keep speaking as you are being led. So I don't know if you said you wanted to jump.
Honestly, I've had a lot of people like that. All of them now are currently fervent tongue speakers, the hot ones. And I'm talking about in the space of 6 months. I mean, people that I'll be praying with them. I'll say, are you not praying in tongues? Yes, I'm praying. I'm not hearing anything. But they always preach.
Yeah.
And the reason why I'm doing that is because of, they want you to hear how they sound. And you see, there are several reasons why. I like to explain it in the most basic way. When Momsi gave birth to you, did you come out like, hey mommy, hey daddy? Is that what happened? You came up and you were crying. At some point, you now said dada, mama. So the language began to improve the more you spoke it. Some people are actually, I don't know, they are just gifted. You know, there's a girl I discipled. The moment she started speaking in tongues, she was sounding like me. I was like, no, yes, yeah. Just 1 week, you can't stop it, though. Relax. Know your grace. But there are many people who start speaking in tongues and then they have one word. La 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 ja ja de je. What I want to say to you is that, first of all, it's your mind. Because the Bible says that when we speak in tongues, our mind is unfruitful. That means our mind will not understand what we are saying. How many times have you done something that your mind does not understand? Because The moment you feel like you understand what you're saying, it's a language, like you're speaking maybe French. You might not understand what you're saying. That's not tongues. The Bible says, he that speaks in an unknown tongue, his mind is unfruitful. Now, if you're referring to interpretation of tongues, it's not translation. It's interpretation. That means when you speak in tongues, the Holy Spirit drops something in your heart based on what you're saying. So usually you would watch some videos and then you'd be like, you hear someone shout, ah, bad, blah, blah, blah. And then after, they begin to say words. It's not a translation, it's an interpretation. The point I'm trying to make is this. It's going to sound foolish. It's going to sound rubbish. You can't help it. You're going to sound ridiculous. That's how you know you are getting it right. Think about this. The first time that tongues were spoken was in Acts chapter 2. And they called them drunk. They called them drunk. So, you know, accept it. Say, Omo, I sound like I'm drunk. But that's why it's the Holy Ghost.
Okay.
I sound drunk. It's the Holy Ghost. And okay. And the mentality for me has to switch from, I'm saying rubbish. You're not saying rubbish. All right? And if you are shy, own it. Own it, my dear. But then again, the more you pray, there's always a period where the Holy Spirit touches you, because it happened for all the people that I was mentoring. When I pray and I say, Holy Spirit, touch, and then the Holy Spirit touches you, you will not, by yourself, you will not shout. When you shout, usually, the more you shout your tongues, the more the shame goes. So in other words, to those folks, you'll be fine. Speak your tongues, honestly, speak your tongues.
Oh God, I am so, so glad we were able to have this conversation. Very important conversation. I didn't even think this will even come up, but as the Spirit will lead, we started talking about speaking in tongues. So be encouraged today to everybody listening, to every new believer listening, be encouraged today. We are about to close this episode, but I would love for Pastor Nelson to pray for us, to pray for not just us, specifically for the new believers, people new into the faith, listening.
So let's open our eyes for prayer. I'm joking. Let's close our eyes for prayer. Father, we say thank you. Thank you, Lord, for sharing your message to us today. Thank you for giving us wisdom and eloquence to rightly divide your word and communicate experiences to help the people that are listening to us. Father, for every new believer or even old believer that might be having these things, the fear of missing out on the world or the fear of joining the faith, Father, we pray that you help them. We pray that you send them people that will surround them and garrison their hearts and push them towards you in the name of Jesus. We also pray that you lead them in the right direction, that you lead them to their place of growth and their place of assignment, that they may find peace with you. We pray that you take them to a place spiritually where they focus on just you and not anybody around them. We pray that they experience joy and progress in the faith, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because it's step by step with you. You are a dynamic spirit. Thank you because you care about where we are and you care about where you are taking us to. Thank you, Father, for in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so, so much. Thank you. And that, you guys, was Peter Nelson Isaiah. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I really, really appreciate you. I appreciate the whole conversation we had. And I thank God for leading us the way. So to listening, I have a lovely rest of the month. And I can't wait to see you in the next episode. Bye.
Did you love this episode? Were you blessed by it? I'm pretty sure you were. And I thank God for that. You could tell me how you feel about this episode on our Spotify comment section, or you could do that on Instagram at howislife_podcast. You could also follow us there. Follow us on Spotify, follow us on Instagram, and you're very much welcome once again to join the How is Life podcast community. Have a wonderful day. Thank you for listening. See you next time. Bye.